Well, why don't we get started and at least leave a little time. We have a little over an hour. And I think what we have three five slides. You show them fast enough, it starts looking like a movie. At any rate, thank you for being here, and we're looking forward this week to sharing some of our work with you and what we do with relationships to art, worship, the church, that kind of thing. Do we know the year that this was done?
Starting in 91. That was 91.
91. In 91, I was asked to do for the Canadian Lutheran Church a series of bulletin covers, a year of bulletin covers for that church body. And I felt the same way when Matt finally introduced, you know, his abilities into this program, that the church bulletin is really the most throwawayable thing you can think of. I don't know whether it doesn't even get home in some cases. So we thought, we're not going to go to a lot of trouble doing all this work and then just have these people pitch it. And so we started thinking of it as art. if you pitch it, it tells more on you than it does on me. So at any rate, the first one that I decided to do, and they kept asking for more, was this bulletin cover. And what we were looking for was a way in which people could participate with the bulletin instead of just getting the church bulletin out of it and throwing it away. So what I did was, and I won't spend a lot of time here, is we made a bulletin become another image. If all 54 of those bulletins went together, can you see them? Okay. It's easier to see from a distance. So they create an icon of the Christ in there. What happened immediately was that people, particularly in like assisted living homes, nursing homes, started tacking these things up on the wall for art, for color, for faith, and all of those things. And pretty soon, you'd get phone calls like, Mark, I wasn't in church Sunday, could you save a bulletin and send it to me? We got a hole here in the wall. all of a sudden, things became very different with our relationship to the whole process. And in fact, the longer the process went on, because it went on for, we wound up doing, 500 church bulletins or something?
600.
600? Who's counting? But at any rate, it kind of wore us out. But because we were looking for things that were new and fresh and ideas and people would look and say, well, that doesn't look like any Jesus I ever saw. And I was trying to figure out what Jesus looked like, the one you saw. And so you get into nice, wonderful, exciting conversations. And this conversation continued. Now, there is a slight deviation in the schedule. Because, first of all, the schedule lists me as the presenter. I am not the presenter. Matthew and I are the presenter. This is my youngest son, and he is a computer geek. He has to come over to my computer and tell me what to push to turn it on and things like that. So I am not responsible for any of this in its present form. This all becomes Matthew's thing, and he'll tell you about that in just a minute. But it's just a very important thing that you realize the creativity of this project is Matthew's as well as mine, because we were feeding off of each other, throwing ideas back and forth, getting one another angry or just tired or exhausted or frustrated. It's the creative process. And sometimes that's a very individual thing, and sometimes it can be shared. We hope that we get across to you the idea of the creative process being shareable in this particular process. I want to only say one more thing. This will be the comma between all of our chapters. This will come up a lot. And you all know where this is from, right? Sistine Ceiling and the creation of Adam. Now what I want you to see is this space right here. The first time Mike, who we kind of think of as never making a mistake in his life, did this painting, he had the finger coming over here and just barely touching God's finger. You see that? And all of a sudden, he broke it. He just painted over it, plastered over it, whatever, and lowered that finger. So they're not touching. The reason for that is a very famous hymn, popular in the church at the time of Michelangelo. And it reads like this. The sevenfold gifts of grace are thine, O finger of the hand divine. Okay? Now, sevenfold gifts, what's that? Who is that? Who is the sevenfold gift? Who got sevenfold gifts?
Spirit.
The Spirit, right. The Holy Spirit. That empty hole is the Holy Spirit. Okay? So there are some things that are totally invisible that have a way of merging and informing. You gotta know, though. You just have to know what the artist had in mind by erasing, especially up in the air like that, and he takes the trouble to erase something. Golly, that never happened to me in the center. At any rate, it's good to know there are things that we will find in imaging that will surprise you and that will tend to be overlooked if you don't call attention to it. Matt?
Okay. Well, one thing I did want to interject with, and that's that we will be putting additional bulletins in the rest of the week, but starting tomorrow, there will be a lot of history interjected. A lot of the masters and the youthfuls the full spectrum, cross-cultural, five-year-olds, early Christian masters. But today we wanted to start with introducing you to the dialogue process. And art is always a dialogue in one form or another. And one of the topics that we'll be talking about probably tomorrow is, what's the sacred conversation word?
Sacra conversazione.
Yeah. That one. And so that was the sacred conversation happening within one image. We took it to two images. And that was just how we wound up doing it for these particular bulletins. And we want to take you through that process. As he said, you know, we did a lot of these. And one of the benefits of
the full year is that you've got the option of doing the full image as well as the individual images. And that creates a dialogue by itself, the individual image and the big image. It also created a very interesting challenge, because it's not the easiest thing in the world to see the overall image there. It's basically creation. You've got a water pool in the lower right, you've got some earth, but it's a lot of color spectrum. It's creation. We did some series where the background images just popped. We did a wood carving series. That one's right over there in that book. And the background just popped, but in order for the background to pop, the foreground image had to be minimized. We did another one that was a stained glass series that was kind of a stained glass version of his original icon. And I can tell you outside of class the varying degree of materials that I scanned in to make that thing happen. It was very, very exciting. We did another one here that is the Patchwork Quilt series. And on this one, the background image virtually gets lost. But I have to say that this has probably the most interesting six bulletins that we've done, because the Patchwork Quilt series gave us the liberty to have Christ sitting on the throne of judgment on a spool of thread, while at the same time having the camel literally going through the eye of the needle. So it gave us some fun opportunities. Once we did the quilt, the wood carving, the stained glass, then we moved into the dialogue series. The dialogue series was different because it had two images for each Sunday. One of the subject, what was the subject of the gospel, and the other one was, what does that subject see? Now, almost always when we do, when we're seeing images, we're looking at the subject. We can't help but look at the subject. So having the two images gives you almost like camera one, camera two on any given topic. So that's what we wanted to talk to you about initially this week, was the dialogue. Because as you go through the historical images, it's also going to be helpful to keep that in mind. What were these guys seeing? So this was the all of the from images put together on one of the series. This was another. The previous one was the Father. This one was the Son. I don't know if you can see it, but right in the middle is the rose window. Then you have the top of a door. Another dome over here. So again, our primary focus was the individual Sunday images on this. So the background took a background position on this, but it created wonderful painterly texture that you'll be seeing. So with that, we're talking about imaging the gospel. So I need four volunteers: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You're going to be reading one or two verses at a time. Okay, Matthew. Do we have a Mark? Okay, here we are. Luke. Anybody?
Pretty good.
And John.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Remember your positions: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So I want to start with Matthew, if you would, on chapter 24, read verse 38 and 39.
For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man.
Okay, so the subject in there, open to interpretation. Our version, the Son of Man. So when you have the feasting and the wedding and all of that, that's the context in which it happens. So all of a sudden, you have the opportunity. What's this guy seeing when he's up there? What is he seeing in the context of this this lesson?
They're not expecting him, by the way.
Yeah.
Like a thief in the night, he comes. So they're having a party downstairs. Some of the balloons have gotten loose. And they're going up right past Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So Jesus is coming through the midst of their celebration. Now, what do they see? Once they realize something has happened to the balloons, what will they see?
Yeah, what is he seeing?
Yeah, that's right. And the question is, or really the answer is, he's going to take one guy. He's going to take one, and he's going to leave one. That's it. This is judgment. Some of this is a little frightening, but it's the essence of judgment. I want you.
Yeah.
What is the hand holding on that first?
The hand sleeve? Over there?
No. It's holding a green sleeve. The green sleeve.
Oh, the green sleeve's holding a balloon.
Woo!
Okay, so we want to take you through one of these processes now. We did this with every lesson. Here's a full lesson, one of the Gospels. And we wanted to take you through this process because there's no one right answer. We came up with one possibility, but there's no one right answer. So why don't you take a minute and just read that.
While you're reading it, what does that look like to you? An angel comes to Joseph who is sleeping. What does that look like? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Here's Mary. Take Mary for you. Those are two distinct events in one narrative.
Okay, so
yeah.
Okay, so as you're looking at that, what are you seeing as the subject of the lesson? So you're seeing the angel as the primary object of the lesson. Okay.
It could be Joseph the dreamer.
Joseph.
The dreamer.
Yeah, Joseph in dream. Yeah. So right there we have two counter opposing.
But they're really talking about Mary.
Yeah.
Could
be Mary.
She could be the subject.
Let's look.
Yeah. Let's look. Yeah. Let's look. Right there, we came up with six different alternatives for him. We did that. So Joseph, in mid-dream, would be seeing what?
The angel.
The angel?
Oh, he's seeing himself taking Mary.
So seeing?
He'd see himself, in the dream, he'd see himself take Mary, I would think.
Okay. Okay, well, I've heard Joseph, I've heard Mary, I've heard the angel.
I think he was troubled about taking Mary in light of the fact that she was pregnant, not by him, and he didn't know quite what to do with this. He was troubled in the dream.
So he needed that angel.
Yeah,
probably.
Okay. Well, this was our version. All of yours were correct. And from a dialogue perspective, introduce a rich new opportunity for both discussing and imaging the gospel.
So how did these bulletins look? I'm trying. That's was one image on the back, one image on the front.
Did you have the sample? It's in your portfolio.
Yeah. You got one? No, this is here. This is Mary. We'll come up with her in a minute. And this is the angel. Okay.
So different text, but the image of the subject was on the back,
okay.
Smaller,
okay.
With all the lessons.
And an explanation.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a brief explanation. So it was kind of interesting. If you were in a church that had these bulletins, they were doing. That's dialogue. Except sometimes it's dialogue with yourself. I get it.
Okay. This next one is going to be fairly straightforward. Some of them are simpler than others. Nicodemus.
Is this a John lesson?
This is a John lesson, but there's not a John reading on this particular one. Since this one's a little more straightforward. So, this is Nicodemus sitting down with Jesus. And it's, you know, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. No one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God.
He looks confused.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. You bet.
Exactly. So if he's confused.
I think people when I do a painting of Jesus usually come up with a comment, snide. Jesus Christ, not another Jesus Christ. But of all the Jesus Christ that I've done, I think this one is my favorite. It's like, Nicodemus, I got news for him. And he's happy about it.
Okay. John. Who's our John? John 43 and 44. Or John 11, 43 and 44.
That's
the end of a 45 verse lesson. We pick one. And so look, Lazarus coming out of the tomb, he's been in there a while, and he sees the two sons.
And he's peeking through his bandages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He sees Jesus Christ.
How many of you have been on a building committee before? all right.
You don't have to admit it.
Okay. Who's Luke? Okay. 14, 28 through 30.
For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost, to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish.
Been there and done that.
Okay, so the back and forth dialogue, you read it right there.
Looks like neutrons.
That's bad. That is really bad. Have a nice day. You know, you might pass this out during a church service where they're having trouble. You know, oh, you're not helping. Maybe you are. Exactly.
We push a few buttons with these. Okay. We'll go through these. The entry into Jerusalem. The subject is obviously Jesus Christ.
Do you love my donkey? Sorry for my donkey.
Yes.
That particular passage has a special problem because it seems to imply that he had one foot on the colt and one on the ass.
Oh, never occurred.
Wow, that would have been really interesting.
Like he was a...
Yeah.
Circus rider.
Trick rider.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Christ entering Jerusalem.
Not that way in Mark and Luke, but it's that way in Matthew.
It's called. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what's the road? What shape do you see in the road?
Cross.
The cross.
Oh.
Yep.
So that is his path. With the light at the end.
So it looks kind of like a Holden deer.
Yeah.
Could be.
No.
Okay. We are cruising right along, aren't we? Yeah. All right. All right, Matthew, if you would.
Which verses?
13. Verse, 13 verses 24 and 25.
24 and 25. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away.
Okay. One of the interesting things that parables do for us from an imaging perspective is the parable sees things in current context. You don't always have that luxury, but parables do give you that. So the subject there is not just the wheat, but the weeds among the wheat, as you read. And the reaper's coming. Now the passage actually says that the at the end of time the weeds will be bundled up and burned. So you're seeing the reaper at the end of time. Or the weeds are seeing it.
The fire has started.
Oh,
where fire.
On the left side there, on the right side, it almost looks like a big cat or a lion,
wolf.
An animal coming.
Whoa.
Interesting.
Never
yes,
mind.
It does.
That's one of the problems. It's not a problem. It's an interesting thing that happens when you see a thing for the first time and are not sure of what all is supposed to be there. You search for things. You begin to find things, especially if there's a kind of an abstraction going on and you have a lot of line or a lot of pattern or a lot of mix of color. They all have meaning. We're not used to understanding that in art. Mm-hmm. We want art to be clear. Mm-hmm. But these kind of things are done as we perceive them, as we see them. And that everybody should see something differently. Well, friends, that would just require too many bulletins. But in fact, you demonstrated the way we see, the way we pull out what we know, and see whether that fits in the whole picture.
And also from the process of setting these up, before we looked at any text, he did one overall image on a big sheet of paper, and real size, and we cut that up into 54 pieces, 9 across, 6 down, and the image that's on the back was the image that's on the back. We weren't designing the background texture. We worked with what was there.
Okay.
All right.
We tried a different process for almost every one of these series.
Okay. These next couple are fairly straightforward. This is Christ being presented with a denarius, and up above you see the text give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's. So you're seeing what's the emperor's. So what's Christ see?
The people in the image of God.
The image of God?
The people that are the image of God.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Some things as Pharisees.
Okay. The image of God could be image as the earth. Or the image of the people of God. And I like to think of that as the value of the denarius. Which really isn't that much in context of the whole thing. Okay. Another one. This is Simeon.
That's baby Jesus, right?
That's Simeon holding up the baby Jesus.
Right,
the
purification.
Okay. The presentation? The presentation, or what do they call it? Is that what they call it, the presentation?
In the temple?
Oh, no. The baby to Simeon?
Okay. So, some of these are a little more straightforward.
That is the baby. Over Simeon's arm, we see Anna, the priestess. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Simeon gets it.
Or now let your servants depart in peace.
Yeah. Simeon knows.
And that's mom and dad behind Simeon?
No, they're behind, well.
No, yeah, behind him, yeah.
Behind Simeon.
Your side.
Okay, let's forge forward. This is a...
I met him in church once.
Well, the text said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. There he is.
He looks like our sheriff in Arizona.
There you go. That's wonderful.
And in that city there was a widow who kept coming from him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. So, again, it's a little more straightforward of one.
She kept coming and coming and wore him down.
Mm-hmm. Perseverance.
Look at that.
Wow.
And it's important when you're talking about this kind of way of communicating that you don't try, and I had to resist a lot, you don't try and throw everything you know at every image. Some things you really try and make just as simple, almost cartoonish, you know. It's just immediate. This woman looking over the bench and pleading with the judge.
But what we don't know, there's always lingering questions, and one of the lingering questions here is God and or prayer even involved here?
You can see the determination in her eyes.
Yeah, but she's not interfacing with Christ here, she's interfacing with the judge.
Well, this is a parable. This is a parable, not a historic event. And if there ever was a parable that demanded that you pray without ceasing, you know, make him listen. Ask. Again and again.
I see a quality in her that you see in the pictures of Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
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 She looks like she's praying. She's not praying to the judge, though.
I think she's looking the judge right in the eye.
I see these colors that are like waves, like the waves of the Holy Spirit that said, hey, there's more to this than what you see.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. And then you remember that color came first.
Yep.
Yeah.
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 So this was just, you shove this stuff around and all of a sudden you're there. That's the color that has been given you. And sometimes it's like we would look at each other and say, oh, yeah. And sometimes we would say, oh, no. That doesn't fit. But you kept it. That was the procedure we wanted to go through.
Yeah. Mark. If you would read chapter 1, 23-25.
Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God."
Okay, now, as we got in the sermon last night, evil always finds its way through good. Was that it?
That was one of the points.
Is that one of his points? Mm-hmm. Evil always finds its way through good.
Perhaps it would.
So.
He's possessed?
Yeah. It's not just the unclean spirit. It's the devil.
So that's the man in front?
That's
yeah.
The devil behind him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, if you have Christ coming to an unclean spirit with the devil behind there, what's the mirror image?
Jesus.
And?
The people in the synagogue.
Okay.
The Father.
Jesus with God behind him.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus and his Father.
Jesus, yeah, but there's different ways of doing it. The people in the synagogue would be great.
Yeah, those are all right.
Yeah,
yeah,
they're all great.
Right. Yes,
they're all new images, new sermons. So there's a classic dialogue, and then one of the questions here is, who sees who? In this dialogue, I don't know who's seeing who. So it's an open question there.
This is one of those happy accidents when the background came right down the middle of the angel's face. Of the angel's face. Those are so exciting.
Is the figure of Jesus almost doing a sound, you know, the finger
It's this same hand.
Right.
Oh, okay.
But they each are a different gesture, which is interesting.
Yeah, because the way it comes out above, it's almost like, shh, just don't say it. Don't say that.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
The other type of happy accidents are the bright yellow.
Yeah.
That's the angel's wing. It was there when we started. And he created the line drawings. I just put them right on there. I was like, okay, that works. Okay, another parable here. Sower. How are we doing on time? And the sower has seeds going onto the rocks and onto the thorns and onto good soil.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So the way we did this.
The sower.
Falling on good ears and not so good ears.
It's the same
gesture.
Is the man?
It's all about sowing seeds. What?
The man at the door, is he?
He's getting out of there. He's either a thorn or a rock. We're not.
There's too much for him.
Okay. This is a hard one. Mark, if you would, please read 37, chapter 8, verse 37 and 38.
37:38. Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man shall also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of the Father with the holy angels.
Okay.
That's why. That's judgment.
That's judgment. And this was also, by the way, the lesson where he said, get behind me, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And he called to the crowds of his disciples and said to them, if any of you want to become followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. There's a lot of meat in there. But I wanted to make sure that someone else read the adulterous and sinful generation, just so you understand how we handled this particular bullet. Okay? Because
this is hard.
This is very hard. And the other thing to keep in mind with this is that this lesson had to do with Peter. You know, and get thee behind me, Satan. Peter is the head of the church. So Jesus is on the preaching to the people. After rebuking Peter, who's the head of the church, and you have this adulterous and sinful generation. Now, I don't care how you paint that, it's not a pretty picture. Okay? And so we might be the first artists ever to actually get away with putting that on a church building. And it's all coming from the church, which was Christ's concern.
Question?
Yeah.
So do I, as the preacher, talk about the bulletin, or do I talk about the words of the text, the narrative?
The text.
Well, hopefully the bulletin will help visualize what the scripture is saying.
Mm-hmm.
I got this word from my father, who was a professor at Concordia Seminary and taught
homiletics.
Yeah.
And he said, you never leave the text in your sermon. You preach goal, melody, and means. He had an outline for every sermon, and but you stick with it. No, this is something totally separate from the sermon.
So,
or maybe it is allowed to be. And sometimes they really connect, but these are not illustrations of the sermon.
Yeah.
It's
one possible interpretation.
Yeah.
It's like music.
Unless that is your interpretation of the text, then it is your sermon.
Mm-hmm.
But if not necessarily.
Yeah.
Yep. And don't forget, most every image out there is going to be the smaller one on the left in terms of what you're accustomed to seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So this represented just new opportunities to get images out there and introduce new possibilities.
When did this one hit the scene in terms of your... I see the bank is next to top of this one, maybe 2007?
Well,
1996.
Was
this
96?
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's where they belonged.
Yeah.
I see on the left side, I see a lot of things, the Via Dolorosa, and people not sure which way they're going.
Whoa.
And I see the same thing here, that crowd of people that are standing there, they just don't know which way to go. They don't know what to make of this, what their decision is going to be, whether they're going to follow or not.
They're not even attracted to the light.
Yeah, right, right.
Oh. They prefer the darkness.
It's a long road.
Yes.
Down that street.
Stops them.
But this could be like adult Bible study, you know, and not necessarily a sermon, but it also is a different avenue for...
I'll tell you, I was in Syracuse and I was on church council and I led some very meaty Bible studies trying to get at some of this stuff. It was not easy. Luke, if you would, chapter 12, verse 49. Here's our Luke.
I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled.
Okay.
You
want to
preach that one?
Yeah. And this is also the one that says, from now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, and two against three. And
text just came up.
Yeah, that was just a lesson.
And so, there's your two against three. And what you read was
he is at the same table.
Yeah. He's bringing fire to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Moving on. Matthew 10, verse 27.
10:27. Going up. But I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim it from the housetops.
Okay. Then what we took that to be was everyone's in their own prison. They create their own prisons. They're in the dark. And
the text also includes, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? As you back
yeah.
to
yeah.
the
yeah. And it also includes where Jesus sent out his disciples to heal and cast out demons. So the way we saw that was, here comes the disciple, setting them free. We made a physical environment in which to do that. how we did that.
Be not afraid. Do not be afraid. Be not afraid. Is the runaway number one command in Scripture?
Yeah.
Fear not. I think 80 or 90 times, do not be afraid.
In the Gospels, it comes with the birth, and with the time on the mountain, the transfiguration, and at the tomb.
And outside of slightly darkening and slightly lightening, there is absolutely no color change to what was already on the background.
And that do not be afraid is spoken to that figure,
yes,
because immediately follows, I mean, if God can take care of these sparrows, these little creatures, how much more am I able to take care of you?
Well, what happened to the other sparrow? Did that one of the bricks get it?
There was only one on the roof.
Yeah, so either it flew away or one of the bricks squashed it.
Yeah, one of the blocks.
Okay,
this whole section of Scripture is really tough. It's kind of a downer in a way, unless you can focus on the gospel at it.
Let me go through these. That's the condemned, and what they see, if they choose, is Jesus in judgment and the light. But they have to choose it. That's what's in the text.
They can walk away.
But they walk towards the light.
Yeah, you've got the darkness and you've got the light.
Okay. What about John 3:16? That's within that section. For God so loved the world. How would you get? I don't know, that isn't in there at all, right?
Right. That's absolutely right. If it was the assigned text for the Sunday, then we would concentrate on
it. Well, it is. I mean, the homeless man right there on the right is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He did give his only begotten Son, and there he is. But the rest of the text also had the condemned people who had to choose to see.
He who does not believe is condemned already because it has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. That's part of the text.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a tough thing.
Yeah.
To lay in people's laps while they're attending church.
Yeah. This was exegetically exhausting.
Were there times when you would just, like, I don't know what to do with this one, and just walk away for a while?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
How much lead time did you have to prepare these?
We did this before the church year started. So this was all done and ready, you know.
So a good year ahead of time.
Because they had, the publishing company had to market them. So.
Now, on this particular one, one of the lines, and I just want to read this, is that all that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Which is why Jesus is preaching to his disciples, but what he is seeing is the Spirit of Truth, or the Advocate, from his Father. of my favorite images of the cross.
Yeah, this was a tough one, and when it came, I just kind of let it go, because I liked the design, I liked the color, and the whole idea of the cross now having no power, because it has been destroyed by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, we have...
So why do you have the farm in the city down in the bottom?
Why do we have the farm in the city?
Yeah.
It's not. It's in the country.
Oh, you got the farm over there.
The farm on that side. The
mm-hmm. Farm is in the mall.
Just wondering why you included that.
Included them?
Yeah.
The farm.
Well, that's a while ago.
Let me see. Why did we include them? No, that's a very good question, but I think probably we were tired. I'm serious. I mean, when you deal with images of the Last Judgment, there's a certain point where, I mean, we were all born and raised into the Lutheran Church. And here we are now reading about people going to hell if they don't behave, and that, you know, oh, can I put that on a church bulletin and things like that? I thought I would do a piece of peace, and peace is always horizontal. Activity is always vertical. So there's so much vertical coming in here. And I'm thinking that the Spirit is bringing peace. Now that's very personal. You don't have to get any of that.
I think part of it, if I were to also remember, is that the peace is coming to everyone. And how do you represent everyone? And the rural and the urban is a...
Also remember that these colors were there before the image. Okay. So we're not raining fire on the big city.
Let me just rifle through these last ones because we're at the end here.
Good.
Oh boy.
Oh,
Martha.
You're gonna love this.
Yep.
Mary and Martha.
Mary and Martha.
Mary and
Martha.
Oh, Martha Stewart.
Yeah! Hey, why not? We all know what she represents. The same thing this lesson represents. We're not kicking her out of the church. I mean, she's just not paying attention.
This one we could probably spend an entire session on. Is very tricky, but the way that we worked on this one was that the subject is a symbol of the church's wealth, and the symbol is the television.
And stained glass. Nice. Floor-to-ceiling stained glass.
So, what you have there is, I don't know if you can see it, but in the reflection of the window, you see the guy.
You see that? So that's supposed to be the TV?
Yeah, so the TV is reflecting there. So it's not even what the preacher is seeing, it's what the technology is seeing. And so the poor are looking in and seeing the trinkets, and one of the questions that we have is the television image from the church one of the trinkets? Is it one of the things they're selling?
We don't name names.
Just two more here.
Here's one of my favorites.
Yeah. So the subject is actually the offering. So the offering sees the true offering.
This woman gave more because it was all she had.
Yep.
Okay.
Now, I hope by this time most all of you can do this last one. Because it's the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Okay.
So,
fire away.
So what's the letter you're seeing?
Alpha.
And what would that see?
In the beginning.
Yeah, Alpha is the beginning. What does
Omega?
Yeah. Well, so that wasn't that hard. Yeah. And Omega is the end, so that's the end.
There's an awful lot of stuff. And it's just the beginning, and if some of you would like to page through bulletin stuff, we'll have it available for you. We'll clean this up and then lay it out when there's time for you to see it. Tomorrow we start on the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we go, first of all, we discover how they got their funny symbols. Matthew, you know, and Mark, and they were all like lions. And you know, you gotta have fun with the history of the church. But we are going to start with the beginning and go through the art using every available, I mean, if we come to a nativity, we will use every available resource to show the nativity. We can't do it in our time constraint, but we will, for the rest of this week, be showing you an entire history of art as it relates to the Gospels. And the art will come from everybody from Michelangelo to a 5-year-old boy. Children's art, probably the most profound of all. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.